basketball Jones. I got a basketball Jones. Got a basketball Jones. Oh, baby. Ooh.
Back on downtown. It is 4:32 here on a Tuesday afternoon. How do we solve our basketball Jones? Well, we do that by getting on board the telephone line and welcoming in John Corrales of Boston Sports Journal and the Locked On Celtics podcast. Hello there, John.
Hey, man. How you doing?
Outstanding. How are you this afternoon?
Oh, I'm great. You know, another appropriate song to play right now would be Crosstown Traffic, because that's what I'm stuck in.
Oh, dear. I'm sorry to hear that. Well, you got time. The game's a couple hours away. You can make it.
Yeah. Time to collect my thoughts to give you the best possible Celtics information.
We appreciate that very much. Well, let's start with the guy who was the subject of the podcast, and you wrote about him on Boston Sports Journal as well. The man, the myth, the legend, Derek White.
Whew. I mean, he is having a start to the season. I know Jason Tatum was the player of the month, but I would say Derek White is, as I've been calling him, the most impactful player on this team, because he's doing a little bit of everything, right? He's scoring when you need him to score. He's getting the assists. He's getting the rebounds. He's defending. He does so many different things. The on-off numbers are incredible. He comes into this game plus 17 and change. So the Celtics are 17 points better with him on the floor, and that's both by being 9 points better offensively, or almost 10 points better offensively, and about 7 points better defensively. So he does a ton for the Celtics. And, you know, it's one of those things where obviously Jason Tatum's the best player. Jaylen Brown, those two guys are going to be the guys that lead you to a championship if you get there. But it's hard to argue against Derek White as one of, if not the most important players on this team.
Well, yeah, and he's one of those guys who does, you know, what they used to say the superstars did, and that's make everybody around you play better.
Yeah, I think one of the things I love about Derek White is just he's in constant motion. He doesn't really sit and watch. He doesn't really get stagnant on offense. If he gives up the ball, he's reading the floor, and he's getting to a spot where his gravity has some value. So if he brings the ball up and there's nothing there for him and he gives the ball up, he'll relocate. He'll go somewhere else. He'll kind of, if a defender turns his head, he'll make a cut. He'll set a screen. It's all those little things. And when you're doing that, it does get a little contagious because, hey, if Derek White is moving and he's coming to my area, well, that means I got to move. So I got to cut. I got to go this way. And the motion, you know, it's motion begets motion. And that's how the Celtics are at their best. He's probably the best leader by example on the team.
He's obviously getting a lot of minutes as a result of that. And then at the other end, a guy who is maybe not getting as many minutes as fans thought or he thought, and that's Jrue Holiday. Are they still trying to find the best way to maximize his role?
Yeah, I think Holiday is going to take just a little bit longer than maybe we thought to get fully comfortable, fully acclimated. You know, it's still mid-December, so when you think about it, he got here at the beginning of October, so it's a couple of months. All right, so he's been in the film sessions. He knows what the team wants, but the timing is still, you know, a little different. His assignments are a little bit different. He's guarding bigger guys. He's not guarding wings or guards all the time, and it does have an impact. He's a little slow to get back to some of his finishing numbers of the past. He usually has been somewhere just about 70% in the restricted area, and in this season he's less than 60% finishing at the restricted area. That's something that I think has to change. It will change, because it doesn't make any sense for a guy who can finish as well as he has historically to be that far off his normal numbers. I think that stuff will eventually even out, and it'll just take some time for him to kind of get used to the physical toll of guarding bigger guys and the, you know, playing off the other guys who all need the ball, right? The, you know, Tatum, Brown, Porzingis. And, you know, he's used to setting everybody up. He's used to being the guy that sets everything up. And now you've got Derek White on the floor, and Derek White can set things up. Jason Tatum can initiate things. So it's not, it's really a much different role for him than he's been used to. And so that just tends to take a little bit longer to get him up to speed.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown. Celts had a nice bounce-back win against the Knicks on Friday, and generally over this entire season, they've done a pretty good job of not having back-to-back clunkers.
Yeah. I think that's the sign of a good team. That's the sign of a team that, you know, okay, you go out there and you lose. Okay, that's going to happen. Even if the Celtics, if we say the Celtics are a 60-win team, a 60-win team is amazing. Well, it's an 82-game season, so they're going to lose 22 times. And that's so right now they've lost what, 5? That's pretty good, you know. So there are going to be other losses, but the fact that they've only had 1 2-game losing streak so far this season, that is telling. For as much as people might be a little frustrated, and some of the things that we've seen that are still plaguing the Celtics, it feels a little too familiar, and We hear people go, oh, here we go, this again. And people get that feeling of like, well, if this is the same thing, then we're going to see the same result, and these guys are going to be disappointing, so it doesn't matter what they do now, blah, 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 blah. The fact is that you can only go by what you have now, and this is a team that has not strung more than 2 losses together. They only have 1 losing streak, and that is what good teams do. Even when you play like crap, they have found a way to win a lot of those games. And that is meaningful, because in today's NBA especially, the parity is there. The bad teams are still good enough to win on most nights. So the fact that they're avoiding a lot of those bad losses, that's huge to me.
I thought Joe Mazzulla's comments were pretty interesting, talking about missed layups. And he pointed out, and you wrote about it, everybody talks about the missed threes, but those missed layups have a pretty big impact on the transition game.
Yeah, so a lot of, like, I don't blame fans. Like, most fans, 80% of fans, I'll make up a number, 80% of fans probably don't see the game beyond like following the ball. And like, why should you? You're busy, you're working, you're not studying the game. You watch the game. Are they winning? Are they losing? And that's it. So you see the big obvious things, right? But that's where the timeouts, when he doesn't call a timeout, that's where people get all up in arms. When the team is kind of struggling to score and they miss 4 or 5 three-pointers in a row, well, those are big, obvious things. Those big, long shots, big, long rebounds. It's obvious that they're missing those shots. But when it comes to the layups, people kind of excuse that because, hey, they got the layup. They just missed. And people think, well, you can't hit them all. And if you get there and you miss the layup, that's just how it goes. And kudos to you guys for getting there and at least getting to the rim. But that's where Joe Mazzulla really pushes back. Because a lot of times when you get to the rim or get to that paint area, just going up and trying a layup is not always the best thing. And if you go up against a Rudy Gobert and you don't finish and you're not really fully challenging him and you end up falling or complaining to the ref, then you get a 5-on-4 the other way and the other team tends to score. We've heard announcers say it year after year after year. How many times have you seen it? You miss a layup on one end, you give up the layup on the other end. That's been said for a long time. Why is that always just accepted? And that's where Joe Mazzulla is. if you're going to go to the rim, that's fine. If you're going to take a layup, take the layup. You got to finish it. You got to put yourself in position to finish it and make the right read at the rim. Is there a big there? Great. Now that's your cue to maybe kick it out. There's a guy in the corner, probably wide open. If you go and you try to force it, just like anything, just like if you force a three, if you force it and you miss, a missed layup can be the most damaging thing, because a guy can be on the floor or against the stanchion or just out of the play entirely, and you're giving up 5-on-4, 5-on-3, and you do that too often, and you can give up a run, and it's hard to come back from that.
John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal, the Locked On Celtics podcast. With us, Celtics and Cavaliers tonight. And, John, good luck. You'll be there. Get through that traffic. Do what you got to do. Just close your eyes and drive fast.
You know what? Good idea. Everybody out of the way.
Thanks, John. Good luck. We'll see you next week.
See you, buddy.